This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. Whether you're a freelancer, contract worker, or full-time employee, one thing is certain. You want to get paid in full for the hours you put in. Thankfully, there are laws to ensure that. Still, every year, millions of Americans are victims of what some call wage theft. It's a practice in which a company fails to compensate workers for their time, shortchanges them on their benefits, or intentionally misclassifies employees in order to save money. And even though all of that is illegal, my guest says it's surprisingly common in the U.S. Kim Bobo is Executive Director of Interfaith Worker Justice and the author of Wage Theft in America. She joins us now. Welcome to the program, Kim.
Thank you, Barbara.
So what are the most common ways that companies arrange to pay workers less than their due?
Minimum wage is a problem. Recently, two workers came into our Arise Chicago Workers Center, and two Supermart workers had worked 60 hours a week and were both paid $330 a week. That's $5.50 an hour when the minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25. One worker was owed $24,000, another owed $17,000. So minimum wage and overtime violations are two of the most common ways that wage theft occurs. Another way is payroll fraud, when employers intentionally call people independent contractors when they are really employees. Now, if your boss, not you, declares you an independent contractor, you probably aren't one. Then there's also tip stealing. About 10% of tipped workers actually don't get their tips. Their employers just don't give them to them. This is really a crime wave in the nation, and it's a crime wave that we don't recognize.
You were just mentioning worker classification, and I wonder how much leeway there is in the law concerning that. Is it something that's in the eye of the beholder, that one person's independent contractor can be another's full-time worker?
Well, indeed, Barbara, there are some situations where it's a little confusing whether you could pay somebody as an independent contractor or not, but that's not the case for most of the misclassification that occurs in the country. A lot of misclassification occurs in the back of restaurants. So dishwashers and cooks are called independent contractors. The common sense rule is if you get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm going to business for myself. I'm working for myself today. Then you are indeed an independent contractor. If you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to work for somebody else, you're an employee. No matter what they call you, you are an employee.
Well, are you seeing this happening across the board or mostly with these hourly or low-wage workers?
It's a serious problem for both low-wage and middle-income workers. Indeed, probably the most egregious cases are against low-wage workers in a number of sectors. But you also have middle-income workers. I was talking to a worker the other day, and she said she's supposed to get overtime, but her employer says, we don't pay overtime. So if you work overtime, I'm not going to pay it. But they're given so much work, they can't possibly get it done in 40 hours, and they'll get fired if they work more than 40 hours. So they all just write down, we worked 40 hours. So again, it's common practice for firms to just say, we don't pay overtime, as if it's a personal choice. It's not a personal choice. There are clear laws on this.
Well, the Department of Labor is supposed to enforce fair labor practices. How well is it doing under the current administration?
Well, we have a really dedicated federal Department of Labor right now, and they're eager to do what they can. But there's 1,000 enforcement staff to protect 135 million workers in the nation. That's one enforcement staff person for every 135,000 workers. It's simply not enough. There are not enough cops on the job to protect us against wage theft.
Well, as we've seen most recently with the right to work legislation in Michigan, the power of unions has been waning in America in the last few decades. How much of a role then do unions play in solving the problem of wage theft? And what alternatives to the union model do you see?
Well, it used to be that unions played a huge role in fighting wage theft, and they still do today. If you work in a union place, you're probably not going to have wage theft because the union's going to make sure you don't have that. But when about 10% of workers now are represented by unions and efforts like the Michigan Right to Work law pass, it just creates an environment where workers aren't protected.
Well, what legal protection do workers have, ultimately, against this kind of mistreatment on the job?
Well, the laws are very clear. You have to pay people minimum wage. You have to pay overtime. Most workers are employees, not independent contractors. You have to give workers their tips. You have to give them their last paycheck. You can't deduct for weird deductions. I mean, the law is very clear. But if you have a law and you have no enforcement or inadequate enforcement, it doesn't work.
So for anyone listening who falls into this category, what is their first line of defense?
Well, first, they should understand what their rights are, and they can do that by going to a website called canmybossdothat.com. They can also call or place a claim with the Department of Labor. They should also educate people by looking at the Interfaith Worker Justice website, which has a slew of resources on wage theft and what you can do to stop it in your community.
Kim Bobo is Executive Director of Interfaith Worker Justice and author of the book Wage Theft in America. Kim, pleasure talking with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara.